place, right? Be quiet.
So in the 29th and in the 30th chapters of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe gave a strategy to deal with something called Timtum HaLev, which we dubbed EDD. You have this emotional disorder. To say this, your emotions are not functioning right. And you're ruminating and thinking and contemplating things which should stimulate the heart and should awaken your neshama. It's not working. So what do you do? The Alter Rebbe said that in that case, you have to crush the enamel of indifference that comes from self-satisfaction and a person being filled with their own successes, even spiritual successes. And in doing so, when you get rid of that kind of enamel that's encasing the neshama, then the natural neshama all of a sudden will start to resonate and illuminate once again. And in Perek Chaf Tes, the Alter Rebbe gave us a number of things to think about. Here's the strategy. He said, number one, a person should ruminate on the fact that he is capable of having lusts and desires for the most inappropriate things. And because of this, that's a proof that he or she is lower even than the vermin, because the vermin can't think badly about God. They can't rebel against God, but you can. And because they're not capable of rebelling against God, but you are, in theory, a person is lower than the lowest creature. Number one. Number two, no matter who you are, in all likelihood, you did violate several serious infractions of the Torah, at least in your youth. And as such, we're talking about whether you have a perfect scorecard and it's only your thought, it's only your mind, it's only your verbiage, which are not l'shem shamayim. So this in and of itself is a proof that you still need to do tshuva, because as you come closer to Hashem, you have to revisit past sins, and Alter Rebbe went into that in detail. The third thing Alter Rebbe says is that if you're not sure that you're actively rebelling against Hashem, take a look at your dreams and see what they're filled with. And if they're filled with anything less than Torah and Yira and reverence for Hashem, then that's an indication of what's going on in your subconsciousness. And so the Alter Rebbe gave you three very sobering thoughts to think about the fact that you're not nearly as spiritually perfect as you think you are. If that doesn't work, the Alter Rebbe in the next chapter, in chapter 30, came along and said, so you pass judgment on somebody else, and you look down at them, and you say, they don't really serve Hashem properly. And the proof, well, what do you mean? The proof is in the pudding, because they're not doing what Hashem says. They're violating A, B, C, and D. And the Alter Rebbe said, hey, Mr. Hotshot, and you are actively fighting a Yetzirah? You're saying they should find the koyach, the strength, to beat down the Yetzirah, but do you beat down your Yetzirah? Yeah, it's true, the Yetzirah doesn't come to you and try to entice you to do the same things that they're doing, but ultimately you also are not toiling, laboring, and overcoming Yetzirah. And as such, you're not doing that well. So what are you so high and mighty about? And in this way, the Alter Rebbe gave us two very compelling strategies to be able to inhibit the disabling factor. And in this way, the heaping of humility will bring forth the true light of the neshama, and the person will begin to function as he or she should once again. That's essentially, that brings us to here. And as we explained in previous classes, the difference between chapter 29 and chapter 30 is chapter 29 speaks of things which are klipa in potential, and chapter 30 speaks about things which are actually not the way they should be. And so, chapter 31 of Tanya opens up, v'hine, af kishiyadachar b'lahavim pinyon hanal, even if a person will listen to the Alter Rebbe's advice, and because he wants to deal with his spiritual EDD and he's frustrated about the fact that he doesn't have any proper feelings for Yiddishkeit and that he's not getting inspired and he's not getting all passionate about Torah and mitzvahs, even though he's thinking about all the right things. So he begins now to think about these sobering thoughts, which Alter Rebbe suggested to him will be a strategy to bring down the klipa, which has taken him over. So if a person will spend time on this, not 5 minutes on this, shosh tayim, an hour or two, that a person should be in a low spirit, that a person should feel himself brokenhearted. And as the commentaries on Tanya point out, the michas ruach, low spirit, comes from chapter 29, from the potential of evil, from the things which are in theory inappropriate, that brings you to a low spirit. Lev nishbar brings you to chapter 30, things which are actually not good. You have to deal with that too. It's actually not good. And that's heartbreaking for a person who takes it seriously. So yavili de atzvos gedoyla, a normal person, after spending time ruminating on these kind of things, is going to get a little depressed. In fact, maybe a lot depressed. He'll become very sad. He'll feel indeed low, but in addition to the low feeling, he's going to have a great depression. Says the Alter Rebbe, le yachush. Don't be concerned. It's not a problem. This is shocking. The Alter Rebbe earlier told us that depression is the worst of the worst. It's the thing that brings even somebody who's flying high can bring him down. It's the most dangerous kind of emotion for a person ever to have to deal with. And we have to avoid it, literally like the plague. And here the Alter Rebbe says, because of my strategy, you're going to become depressed? It's all right. You'll be depressed a little. Le'yachosh. What do you mean, le'yachosh? If I'm going to be depressed, I'm not going to be able to serve Hashem right. How could the Alter Rebbe be saying this? And in fact, he seems to be contradicting everything that he spoke of earlier. This is like shocking. And the truth is that if he wouldn't come along in chapter 31 and raise the question, we should have asked the question. We said, you finished learning chapter 29, you finished learning chapter 30, and you learn about all these sobering thoughts. And it's after the Alter Rebbe told us about how we have to rule out any kind of depression, and we're not allowed to think about bad things, and not allowed to think about the fact that we're inappropriate, and the fact that we're not doing what the Eibishter wants, that we're not fulfilling the divine mission. Can't think about it, push it out of your head. It's not something to ruminate on, it's something to be gained from it. And then the Alter Rebbe gave you exactly what to think about. And in chapter 31 is acknowledging, I just put you in a pickle. I just told you how to get depressed. So he says, don't worry, that's fine. And I'll tell you why. He says, even though depression comes out of klipas nega, which klipas nega is not holiness. So as we've learned many times, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that Almighty God created in the world, really two kinds of realities. There's that which is holy and reflects God's light, and that which is unholy and therefore obstructs God's light. One is called Kedusha, holiness. One is called Klipa, and Klipa means the peel. Why is it called a peel? Because peels serve a purpose. And why did the Eibishter, why did God create a world that should conceal his light instead of reveal his light, if ultimately he wants that this world should be a dwelling place for him? And the answer is very simple. The only way this world can become a dwelling place through efforts that are made is if there is the possibility of darkness. And that enables the freedom of choice. And once we have the freedom of choice enabled, we can choose right. And when we choose right, we become partners with Hashem in creating a perfect world. Huh. So why do we have Klipa? Why do we have the darkness? The answer is to enable the freedom of choice. Because the darkness ultimately brings us to the great light, which means, by definition, that that darkness is discardable. It's not created to last. It's not built to be able to exist forever, but it's only built for a purpose. And the moment its purpose comes to an end, it's gone, finished. Just like peels, which are a natural thing. Whether it's a mango, an avocado, or a banana, the peel serves to preserve the freshness of the fruit. And when you're ready to eat the flesh of the fruit, you discard the peel. End of story. You have no need for it. It's trash. Obviously, you would never buy fruits or vegetables without peels, but once you're ready to eat it, you can get rid of it. So the world has to have lots of peels, full of peels. The peels preserve the freshness. It enables dynamism. It enables a real kind of Avedas Hashem. But the moment you see past it, it's gone. And that's why a Nisoyan, that's why a test is something we're not supposed to be fazed by, because the test is ultimately Klipa. The test is only to bring us to a higher place. Once we get to the higher place, there's no need for the test. Then the test gets collapsed and gets pushed aside. So depression is not a good thing. Sadness is not a good thing. If the world would be perfect, which will mean when Mashiach will come, will anybody be depressed when Mashiach comes? The answer is necessarily not. There'll be an end to sadness forever. Not only there won't be mourning, not only there won't be grief, there'll be no sadness. Everybody will be happy when Mashiach comes. As we're soon going to say in a moment, that it says, with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it b'tzad HaKadusha, the Alter Rebbe says, on the side of holiness, there's oiz v'chedba b'mekeimai. In holiness, there is only strength and only joy, nothing else. No darkness, only light. And we learn, Ein hashchina sheira elo mitech simcha. You want God's presence? You better rule out any of the things that would obstruct God's presence. What obstructs God's presence? Sadness. And it only happens mitech simcha. And the same thing is true about a dvar halacha, to be able to have clarity with regard to a ruling in Torah. And like the Mittler Rebbe explains, that the reason for this is that all atzvos, all sadness, ultimately is rooted in arrogance. I deserve better. How could this happen to me? I should have a different reality. And because I feel that I deserve better, this is not the way I planned my life to go, this is not what I expected, this is not what I wanted, and another few I's in there. So it's all about I. But if it would be not about I at all, if it would be all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you sad about? The Eibush to give me a chance to serve him this way, God gives me a chance to serve him the other way. However, whatever God wants, I'm standing ready to whatever orders come. Hineini, doesn't make a difference. Whatever the Eibush wants from me. And therefore, a person will never be in a state of sadness. Now we're also talking about a person who's no longer a human being. We're talking about a malach. A person that has no feelings. We're talking about a person who has no sense of self-worth, no sense of any kind of self-confidence. He's non-existent. That's a problem for most of us. Only tzaddikim can rise to the level where they can be absolutely comfortable in their own skin when they're totally transparent. And most of us, being totally transparent like that would mean being a doormat, a shmata, where you're not going to be able to have the kind of strength for anything that's necessary. How could you stand up and fight for what's right? Who are you to fight? Whatever God wants. How could you heal illness? If God wants illness, then it must be great. Let's just celebrate the illness, but that's not right. God wants you to restore a lost item, and he wants you to restore somebody's health. And when you see somebody who's broken and beaten and you can make a difference, he wants you to make the difference. When you see somebody who's downtrodden and suffering and you're able to make the difference, you should get up and be ready to fight and sacrifice to make the difference. And that's why it says, Oiz v'chedva. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's strength, and then there's joy. But there's always strength. But for us, that strength ultimately is inextricably linked with a healthy and unhealthy self-confidence and arrogance. And it's almost like light and darkness mixed together. And except for the greatest of tzaddikim, it's impossible to live that way. So because of this, the moment a person experiences any kind of sadness, where is the sadness coming from? What is he sad about? He's sad that he didn't serve Hashem. He's sad that he didn't utilize all of his opportunities. He's sad that he's not firing all the spiritual cylinders. He's sad that he failed spiritually. He failed God. He failed the Jewish people. That's what he's sad about. He's not sad about his bank account. He's not sad about his libido. He's not sad about his friendships. For any material things, irrelevant. The only thing he's sad about is that he didn't serve Hashem right. And that's called klipa. That sounds like the greatest kedusha. What a tzaddik. This is a person who feels bad, not because he lost breakfast, not because he lost the stocks, not because he didn't get honored and feted. No, he feels bad about one thing, that he had a machshav zara when he davened. He says, oy vey, why didn't I daven better? And this bothers him. So a person will come and say, I'm so bothered. He says, what are you bothered by? And he tells you, I'm bothered, I didn't serve Hashem 100%. He says, that bothers you? What's the issue? That's great. But ultimately, on a very subtle way, in a very subtle level, there's still a certain I over there. And that's why it's klipa, but it's not ordinary klipa. It's klipas noiga. And klipas noiga is the shell of light. And the shell of light means that there are certain realities which are not holiness per se, but they contain within them the light of holiness. And you have to therefore work with the klipa. It's not to be discarded, it's to be transformed. Like, for example, people use the peel of an orange to turn it into candy. They have orange peel candy. Or people use the skin of chicken with paprika or whatever else it is, and they turn it into griben or whatever. So you're talking something which is really could be thrown out, but instead you use it and you elevate it and turn it around. Ah. In other words, Alter Rebbe says, this atzvos is misada klipa, but it's not just regular klipa. It's klipa snoiga. It's true. It doesn't come mitzada kedusha. It doesn't come because any kind of feeling of self or self-failure, that's already a problem. That's true. However, ultimately, it comes from tzad ha-klipas nega. Why? Because kedusha in and of itself is ois v'chedva. Kedusha is only strength and only joy and no sadness. And if there's no sadness, that means there's no ego. So where is the strength from? Strength from a different place, a higher place. And therefore, when it comes to the Shechina can only reside in such a place, and the same is true also for the Dvar Halacha v'chulu. Ela sheha atzvos himimilu d'shemaya. When the atzvos comes from heavenly things, from godly things, from failure and avedas Hashem, himimachinas toiv shebenoiga, then that's the good side of the klipas noiga. And that's why, l'chein kosav harizal, that's why the Arizal wrote shafilo daigas avedas, that even the worrying about one's spiritual failure, it's not appropriate. Ki'im only, b'shas avidi. There's a time for it. There's a time of confession, not to people, chas v'shalom, but to God. But b'shas atfila? Oh no, says the Arizal. What are you thinking about during davening? Now you should think about eiz v'chedva. Now you should think about the opportunity that you're serving the Eibishter, and this is the most important thing in the world, and you should be filled with joy. A Talmud Torah? How much more so? Should tzarech liyos b'simcha? Because these are activities that come into tzadik dusha. Ah, you have to deal with darkness. Okay. You have to deal with that. It's true. You have to deal with darkness. So afal pikin harei kach yamida. This is the way it's done. La kafi la sitra achra b'mina v'dugmasa. That how do you knock down the sitra achra? The only way to fight fire, as they say, is with fire. And here the Alter Rebbe evokes two different things over here. B'mina. So just to finish off over here, the point is that here we have the secret to how a yid is supposed to be able to fight this klipa. And therefore, because the only way to fight klipa, the only way to fight fire is with fire, and because klipa is a very real challenge and a very real issue, so therefore a person will have to use